Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551, ray@rte.ie. Now, the Boyle Arts Festival starts tonight, and walking in the parade will be none other than local man Chris O'Dowd. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, Ray, how's tricks?
Good. Good to talk to you again.
It's been too long.
It has been too long. Yeah. So what does the parade involve? Are you the Grand Marshal? Is there an open-top bus or what is it?
All of the above, I think. We walk down the town. There's dozens and dozens of school kids have made all of these costumes and stuff. So essentially we have the opening ceremony tonight outside the main exhibition centre in King House and Boyle. And we kind of parade down the town. And it's lovely. All the flowers are out and the town is looking gorgeous. And then we'll have an old drop of wine, I suppose, and a sandwich. And I'll say a few words, which I've been scribbling endlessly all morning. So that's how it'll start. And then the exhibition is open and then the festival is open. And we've got 10 days of wonderful events, maybe 50 or 60 different events altogether.
Right. And is it more nerve-wracking in front of a home crowd, Chris?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Because, you know, with strangers, you don't, when it comes down to it, you don't really care what they think. You know what it's like on the radio there. You'll just spout out all your stuff. And if people like it, they like it. And if they don't, they don't. But when it's people, you know.
It's more important.
It's people, you definitely feel like you're going to hear about it.
Yes. Yeah.
For the rest of your life. You know? So I am conscious of that. But I'm looking forward to seeing some old heads.
There's a lovely symmetry about this, because one of your first memories is of a parade in Boyle.
That's right. That's right. When I was, I suppose, Maureen O'Sullivan was the first Jane in Tarzan, right? Like Johnny Weissmuller. And she was born in Boyle. She's also, what do you call it, Mia Farrow's mother. Interesting.
Right.
But she was born in Boyle. And when she came back from living in Hollywood all her life, she came back in her 70s or 80s and they threw her a parade. And I was kind of atop my father's shoulders, which was unusual because I was 16 at the time. But he was a strong man. And we were quite the sight. You could have thrown a trench coat around us and we would have looked like we were trying to sneak into a cinema for giants. No, I was 7 or 8, I suppose. And I thought it was very exciting that this lady was being given a parade and she was in the movies. And I don't know, maybe there's some correlation, probably not. But it was definitely one of my earliest memories, everybody getting out in their mask clothes to welcome back a movie star.
Were you curious as a 7-year-old as to why everybody was out cheering this woman on?
Well, I thought that maybe we'd scare her, you know, all of these hundreds of people. And there was part of me, it's like, why is she on the back of a trailer? Are they bringing her to the march or what's the crack? But I think there was something obviously special about her. And she had this kind of air of something. And everybody was so excited. So that was memorable in its own way, I suppose, the way that it affects everybody else.
And did it influence your career choice at all?
I don't know. No. I don't know. Yeah. But you know what? It is a town full of creativity.
Yes.
I mean, kind of, it's actually a town really full of head the balls masquerading as creative types. And it really keeps your soul on its toes, you know, being around those kind of people. So it's kind of an exciting time. It's been going 35 years. And I remember it always being part of our lives growing up. And my sister has a couple of pieces in the exhibition this year and everybody Great. Always has. So it's a good buzz.
And the town of Boyle, which is a population of about 2,000, is alive with art for the next 10 weeks. And there's events here, there and everywhere of all varieties. I see Eddie Reader's there. Paul Brady is there. Jerry Fish, I think, is there.
And that's right. We've got, oh yeah, fantastic lineup. Yeah. Loads of fantastic exhibitions. But then there's, you know, we've got the Boyle Singers, Rosie Stewart doing traditional singing up in Dawes. There's great trad music here. Brendan Gleeson opened the festival last year and he's usually kicking around town playing his fiddle.
Right.
We've got Eddie Reader, like you say, and we've got terrific music. We've got the Dublin Improv coming down. Lots of great events.
And it's just out the road from Sligo and out the road from Carrick and Shannon. So if you're around the area, drop by. One of the events is your wife, Dawn O'Paul. Her book arrived at my desk this morning. Honey Bee is the name of it. And she's in conversation with none other than Brian Dobson. How do you think that's going to go?
I'm going to attend just to make sure that Dobson keeps it clean. You know, no news is good news, Dobson. Just I know, that'll be great. She's going to be talking about some of her work, obviously, and her new book. And So that'll be fun.
Now you're back in Ireland because you've just completed production of Small Town Big Story. Is this like Moon Boy or nothing like Moon Boy?
I mean, it's set in a similar place, I suppose, in that it's kind of set in like Leitrim, North Leitrim, South Fermanagh, so in the northwest, in a fictional town called Drumbawn. It'll be out in the autumn on Sky, and it's essentially about a small town where a big TV show, like a Game of Thrones, like a really terrible version of Game of Thrones, comes to film.
Right.
Called I Am Celt! Exclamation mark. And it's a comedy drama. We've got Paddy Considine and Christina Hendricks and Eileen Walsh leading the cast, which is exciting. And I come in and do a little bit on it myself, but I mostly direct and write this one. But it's great crack. I'm in the final throes of it right now. We're just handing in episodes.
All right.
So I can't really tell if it's good or bad anymore. But
I'm looking
forward to it.
Well, thanks for taking time out to talk to us. We're not finished yet. So you're sort of Hitchcock-like. So you. Just a cameo?
No, I come in and do a couple of episodes.
Oh, do you? Okay, right.
So it's 6 hours altogether, and I'm in a couple of them.
Okay, fine. So Drumbawn, I'm just thinking there, that's a fictitious name. And like Bodkin, we had Bodkin on Netflix recently, another makey-up Irish village, Ballycus Angel, makey-up Carrickstown from Fair City, Glen Row. The list goes
Ballyveg is the one I always think of, course. That's Brian Friel's fictional town.
I think all of his plays
are, for the most part, are set
there. In Ballybeg. And so is that the bar you measure a fictitious Irish village name by?
Well, you want it to sound real, I suppose. I mean, for me, there was a kind of a more of a geographical significance to it, because this town has this alabaster encased hills that kind of loom over it a little bit, and so they have this, it looks like a white ridge. Drumbawn is close enough to White Ridge. So it's got some kind of significance, I suppose.
Now the other fictitious town you've been hanging out in recently is Deerfield, for the Big Door Prize. You did two series of that for Apple Plus. I loved it. It's a high concept, is that what how to describe these things? High concept drama.
It's high concept, yeah. I mean, it's a big, the basic premise for people who haven't seen it, it's a small town where this magic machine arrives in a local shop, and you step into it. It's kind of the size of like a passport taken machine, and you feed it some money, your fingerprints, social security number, and all these other, I don't know if it's scientific rate, but it spits out this card and it tells you what your true life potential is. And it starts off with this kind of piece of trivial nonsense, but people start following the guidance and it leads them down various paths. But it's really a midlife crisis kind of a show where people are questioning whether they're happy or not.
And you're great in it. And you're a history teacher. And the machine says that your potential is to be a teacher and a whistler.
Which is what I'm already doing in the show.
Right.
So it kind of tells him that he has nowhere left to go, which leads to its own existential crisis. And then my wife gets royalty and she feels that I'm no prince, so she could probably be doing better. And that's where the conflict lies.
Isn't that interesting that the machine tells your character that you've reached your full potential? Because, you know, you would think that that's a good thing when probably it could be a negative, full potential.
I suppose for him it is, I suppose. It starts initially with like, oh, well, at least I've made the choices that got me to the right place.
Yeah.
Maybe. But then what tomorrow look like?
Yeah, yeah.
Everything that you do starts to become a little redundant, really, in a way, because it's already decided, which I guess comes with its own sad side.
It's
a fun show.
There's a scene in it where you go, I'm an immigrant, you know, like a lot of people in this town. I think you say that.
Why not?
So you're referencing the fact that you're Irish and you have an Irish accent, and
I think people would have noticed.
I know, but it's bringing me nicely on, Chris. Stay with me. You know where this is going. I'd say, look, I haven't done the maths on this, but I'd say about 80% of your roles you were Irish. Is that fair enough to say?
I'd say that's probably about right.
And it started off with Bridesmaids. You were the Irish cop, and was that discussed beforehand, or had you strategized that you were going to always do the Irish accent, or was it by accident?
I think they mentioned it in the room. What it was, I suppose, the director, Paul Feig's lovely, lovely fella. He was a big fan of the IT Crowd and lots of kind of Irish and British comedies. So he was, I suppose, expecting me to sound like that. So I went, obviously, into some Hollywood audition room, but they were fairly familiar with some of the stuff I'd done before. So I think they wanted to try the accent. They were looking for something that felt a little bit off kilter from a normal romantic story in a movie. So make him from somewhere, somewhere else. Thank God. I honestly think, like, honestly, a chair in a police uniform would have done well in that movie. Those women are so funny. But it kind of, it landed fine. And then after that, it became very easy. Remember the Get Shorty thing?
Yes.
They wanted it to be different, obviously, because it had a remake quality to it anyway. And so that suited them fine. Mm. And then with the latest one, I don't know if anybody even brought it up.
Yeah. It's just you.
Which
it's
is interesting.
Yeah. And did I hear whispers of Bridesmaids 2?
Maybe only from yourself. Whispering it slowly to yourself.
That's funny.
I don't think so. Yeah. I'm actually going to see Kristen in a couple of weeks. I'll ask her, but I don't think so.
Yeah. So you're still friendly with Kristen. Very funny woman.
Yeah. Well, do you know what ends up happening is that my wife befriends all of these people that I do movies with, and then just kind of she takes over the relationships, really. And then in a year's time, she'd be like, oh, we're going to see these people. I'm like, oh, cool. I didn't even know you were friends.
I was reading an interview you did back around Moon Boy time, which is 11, 12 years ago. And you were talking about the strong women in the cast, Deirdre O'Kane being one of them. And you say, I'm conscious of the fact that women are so badly served in comedy most of the time, so I wanted to make sure that the show we wrote had strong female characters. How things have changed in the intervening decade or so, huh?
I know. I mean, it's true. And as they should have. But if you look at the kind of the peers that I have in my kind of writing and performing group now, it's all like, it's Sharon Horgan, Lisa McGee, Aisling B. I mean, Alison Spittle, all of these brilliant writer performers are at the very forefront are all women. Yeah. So it's great. It's a really strong time. Mm. I wish there was more comedy shows on television. There seems to be fewer and fewer, which is a shame.
Why do you think that is? Is it difficult to get it right, Chris?
I think viewing habits seem to have changed an awful lot. And obviously people are still funny and people are still finding comedy to watch, but they're mostly doing it through social media. So I think there's a little bit of that happening, and I don't know. It might be cyclical as well. Something comes in and something goes out, and suddenly we're obsessed with crime murders and all of this kind of thing. But that won't last forever.
What comedy did you watch growing up?
Oh, I mean, all of the normal ones. I mean, Ted was big for me. And I loved all the sketch shows at the time as well, like Vic and Bob and slightly more absurd stuff. The Fast Show and all of those. You don't really see sketch shows anymore, which is a shame, because they can be such a
Dave Allen had a,
for a big idea.
Didn't Dave Allen have a sketch element to his show as well?
He did. He had the odd sketch. I mean, Dave Allen is slightly before my time.
Right, sorry. But I forget. I think you're the same age as me when you're a good bit younger than me. Yeah.
Do you know what? I was walking down the street in Boyle yesterday and I bumped into somebody I hadn't seen in ages. And we kind of half passed each other without stopping. And then she kind of turned around and she says, oh God, Chris, I didn't recognize you. You're so grown up. I said, I think the word you're looking for is old. And she says, well.
And you were very gentlemanly and didn't say anything about her, obviously.
I love Dave Allen. Right. Yeah. I used to watch that with my dad.
How is it walking around the town? Because as I said, it's a small town, but you've always came back. So you're not an oddity. You're not it's not a big deal. Is it for Chris O'Dowd to be in town?
No, not really. It is such a small town that you'd kind of know nearly everybody, really, other than the young ones. And so that's kind of normal. I did notice I was walking down the day before yesterday and somebody cycled past me and gave me a wave, as you normally would when you're passing people. But the thing that's changed is she turned around and came back and got a selfie in the cycling gear. I'm like, that wouldn't normally happen. That might be the week that's in it.
The week that's in it. Is your bedroom as it was, or have your parents changed it?
I mean, I've tidied it.
Right. No, the reason I ask is that, is it true that you used to wallpaper your bedroom with Yorkie bar wrappers.
God, that is true.
Oh,
they are no longer up, unfortunately. But I remember Mom saying they might be up in the attic.
Right.
I had hundreds of the things. I don't know what it was. I feel like Yorkie bars back then, I think they're much the same now, but now they're foil maybe. But back then they were a long piece of paper that you would kind of fold out.
Yeah.
And it was yellow and blue, which were the county colours.
Yes.
So I think there might have been a touch of that to it. Oh, I'd loads of them. I'd go into shops and ask them to give me the ones that were thrown away and stuff.
Right.
Madness on the walls.
And of course, famously, you represented your county in goals at under 16 and minor level. And we found this. You were on Angela Scanlon a few years ago. And you might you might like to hear this again, because the late Micheál Ó Murtagh, who only died recently, they got the video footage.
Yes.
And they got him to do a commentary of you in goal and a brilliant save. Have a listen to this.
And pass to Jeb Brady of Clare Morris, no relation. A long, dangerous ball. Stephen Walsh cuts on it to Matty McNicholas, and it's saved. Who else but Chris O'Dowd was there to save it? Matty McNicholas is remembering O'Dowd sensed the danger early and came out to meet it, a save worthy of his idol, the great, great Shane Cotton. This young man, Chris O'Dowd, has a bright future ahead of him.
Oh, for goodness sake, isn't that class?
Oh, isn't that great to have?
What a thing to have. Yeah. Thanks, friend. That's really cool.
And of course...
Oh, I love Micheál, bless him.
Yeah, and he mentioned Cake there. Isn't that his nickname, Shane Curran? Yes.
Yeah, he would have been... Cake was the senior keeper when I would have been the minor keeper. God, he was great crack.
Yeah. He wrote a memoir. I remember interviewing him. Yeah, very interesting man. Very and
yes, absolutely. Great community man still.
Yeah. So you'd have met him. Did you ever meet Micheál at all?
I met Micheál briefly in passing and passed on my thanks for his years of brilliant work.
Right, great. Now, you'd be sadly missed. You're back this side of the Atlantic. You were in LA for how long?
Just over 10 years, I think, over and back.
Yeah.
And I loved it, you know. LA is a bit of a silly city, but California was gorgeous. And the weather, I did not mind one bit, if I'm honest with you. But yeah, we came back. We kind of always knew, I suppose, we'd come back at some stage, maybe when the kids were doing secondary school. And then COVID sped everything up and elections and all the madness happening over there. We just came back a little bit early.
Right.
Which is great. So we're in London anyway for the moment, and that's grand. And I'm kind of working in Ireland a lot. So it's been good. It's been good.
And you, would you ever end up here? No.
Maybe.
Right.
Never say never. I mean, I'm here a good bit at the moment anyway. So the kids love it over here. So we'll see what happens in the future. One step at a time, Ray. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Now, have your kids grown out of Puffin Rock?
They probably have now. But for a long time, it was all we let them watch, really, because it was so calm.
Yeah.
But it kind of meant for the first few years, they kind of thought that I just narrated all of television. But it's funny, I've had, it's such a sweet little show. I recorded a new series of it last week. And it reminded me, there was a time I was in New York having a lunch meeting, and a girl in a cafe, she must have been 4 or 5, and she came walking over towards my table, and she just pointed at me and said, "Mommy, that's him, Mommy." And I'm like, "You don't want a child shouting that at you in a restaurant." I said, "Hello." And she says, "That's him." And then this mother came over and she says, "Wait, do you do a cartoon about puffins?" And she just recognized the voice from two tables over. Isn't that mad?
But it's wonderful. Your narration is wonderful, because you have that lovely timbre and that sort of slightly Midlands accent, and it's calming. It's calming.
I like the idea of moving forward that a Midlands accent is going to be something that's going to be described romantically like that.
But I'm sure people have commented
on... got that real touch of Longford to you. It's like being in the room with Shelley.
Now, in fairness, Roscommon is sort of not Midlands really officially, is it? Or...
some of it is. We're in the northwest really, because
you
know, we're closer to Sligo than Roscommon town.
Yes,
because I don't know if you've been, but it's a beautiful big length of a county.
I have been quite recently, actually, as it happens. Right. Before we let you go, I was watching an interview you did on CBS. There were three presenters, and You said you were talking about your wife, Dawn O'Porter, and she's appearing at the Boyle Arts Festival, which is running for 10 days, starting tonight with a parade, which will feature Chris O'Dowd, who we're talking to now. She said, isn't it great that you met somebody who had an O in their name as well? And to that, you responded...
Well, no, I gave her the O.
Oh, yeah, you said that. And then the presenter said... Is that a joke?
Yeah, she thought it was a joke, which it's fair enough. I mean, I've been making a lot of jokes, but no, Dawn. I did give Dawn my O, and I think it's worked out quite well. You know,
it was
her idea. But we really, I think at the time we thought it was kind of a half of a joke, and then not enough people told us that it was a bad idea, so we just went through with it.
Right, and I'm looking at the spine of her new book, Honeybee, and Dawn O'Porter. Have you ever met an O'Porter?
I've met the kids.
We leave it there then.
I think we might be the first.
Yeah, yeah. So the parade tonight in Boyle to launch the 35th Boyle Arts Festival and the Grand Marshal, Chris O'Dowd. Chris, thanks so much for that. I know you're
such
a busy man. So thank you. And enjoy
the
festival.
Take care, Ray.
Bye now.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.